Good to see each of you here this morning. And if you regularly attend here, you notice the things are a little bit different up here on the platform. I came earlier today to the church, and it looked like we were already having church. We had about 30-plus people here, and we could have had church, I guess. And we have some special guests with us, but we're glad to see you here. We're all in for a real treat, I believe. Most important thing is that the Lord is here. Amen. Anytime we gather together in His name. I'm going to ask for everyone to please stand. We have a master's commission. They're going to be just explaining their ministry to you, but they're going to minister this morning in song and in the Word. And it's a wonderful ministry that we actually have a graduate from Jen Schulteis. Wow. And if you're looking around for Jen, she's buried in the middle over here amongst all these black uniforms here. She's over there. She's the one with the light color on, though. But we love Jen, and she's heads up our youth. And so we feel like there's a little bit of an investment that this church has had in the ministry there, and certainly the ministry has blessed our church. So I believe today is, you're not here by accident, you're here by divine appointment. Amen. When it comes to the things of God, there are no accidents. And so you're in the right place at the right time, and the only thing we have to do is open our hearts to what God wants to do. And if we'll do that, then this will be a wonderful day, a blessing for everybody here this morning. It might be a little bit different than what some of you are used to, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with variety. Things are a little different. But the message is the same. We glorify the Lord. And so I want you just to be relaxed and enter in and listen and let God speak to your heart. And let's just allow this to be a time of refreshing from the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being here in this place at this time. There's no other place that we would rather be than right here in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And this is a time when we can gather together, our hearts united in you, and your Holy Spirit can breathe upon us. And we say, oh Lord Jesus, come even now into this place. Right at the beginning of the first song that's being sung, may it have the anointing of the Lord on it, O God. And as we open our hearts to you, we pray your Holy Spirit would draw us close to the throne of God today. We've come here but for one reason. We would see Jesus, O Lord. And so we want a fresh revelation of who you are and what you have for us. And we come to you today, O Lord, as a people who are in need of your presence in our lives. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, even now, and breathe upon us, Holy Spirit, and open us to the truth of God's word, we pray. We ask this in the wonderful name of our risen Savior. Amen. Now let's enter in and worship.
Good morning, Trinity. Hi, good morning, Trinity Assembly. How are we doing? Oh, it's such a beautiful day. We're so excited to be here with you. Honored that your pastor would let us be with you and do the service today. So worship with us.
You are more beautiful than anyone ever. Every day you're the same, you never change, no, never. You are more beautiful than anyone ever. Every day you're the same, you never change, no, never. How could I ever deny the love of my Savior? You are to me everything, all I need forever. How could you be so good? There is earth or air surrounding. I'm not alone, the heavens sing along. My God, you're so astounding. How could you be so good to me? Eternally, I believe that there is no one like you. There has never, ever been anyone like you. There is no one like you. There has never, ever been anyone like you. How could you be so good to me? How is it true, Lord, that you are good to one as me? How could you be so good to me? This is a promise. Listen to this. You're not alone. You're not alone. So sing alone. Yeah. You're not alone. Sing along, sing along, sing along. Here we go. There is no one like you. There has never, ever been anyone like you. There is no one like you. There has never, ever been anyone like you. Somebody give him praise in this place, for he is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. We will sing to you alone, Lord, for you are the King of all things, the King of all dreams, the King of all days, Lord. And we will sing to you.
Sing to the King who is come. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His impartial bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His impartial bring. Joy to the So come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus.
'Cause you're all we need, Lord.
He is all we need.
You're all that we need. Hallelujah.
Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
For His returning, we watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of that joy in singing with all the redeeming. Yeah. Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Hey, so come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He is all we need. Sing to the King. For His returning, we watch and we burn. Sing with me. We will be ready the dawn of the day. And we'll join. We'll join.
Presence in this place. Thank you, God, that you allow us to feel you as close as our skin, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are a great big God, and we thank you for your grace this morning, oh Lord. We thank you for your grace. We worship you. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. Thank you, Lord.
All authority, every victory is yours. All authority. Every victory.
Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame.
Power and hand, speaking the Father's plan. He's sending us out, church. Sending us out. Light in this broken land. Let's sing that again. Sing power in hand.
Power in hand. Speaking the Father's plan.
Sending us out.
You're sending us out. Light in this broken land. Worthy of
the name above all names. Jesus, we say your name.
Singing, how marvelous, how
About that.
'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful is my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
It's your great love,
for your love.
It's your great love. Sing at church.
His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me.
Sing it again.
When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see.
Oh, the glory,
'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love.
Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you are doing and what you're going to do. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Say it again. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. That means so be it. It is sealed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's so good to have Master's Commission here. They call you Pastor Chad, do they? Pastor Chad right here in this very colorful, nice Robin shirt you got on there. I like that. That's sharp. All right, Pastor Chad, why don't you come and lead us. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless. This is the end of the service.
Amen. It's good to be with you this morning, and we're real excited. Everybody say different. That's good. Everybody say different. It's going to be a little bit different this morning. Is that okay with everybody? If it is, wave at me this morning. Yeah. Okay, cool. Who knows what Master's Commission is? Heard of Master's Commission or know a little bit about Master's Commission? All right. All y'all in the black shirts now. How many? Raise your hand real high. Let's see here. All right. Cool. Master's Commission is a ministry to young adults. That's much like college. It's kind of, our Master's Commission happens to be a cross between an art school, the Peace Corps, and Bible school. And Master's Commission has been tried to be started in New England. There's been 8 different programs that have tried to be started here up in New England. And this is the one, for whatever reason, that is still going, that has been started and is actually prospering. Now, when I moved up here 6.5 years ago, I heard this saying, and maybe you've heard it, the number one export of New England is its youth. And, you know, there's a lot of guys and a lot of women that are being called to the ministry in New England, and they're being trained some other place, and they're staying some other place. I'm from Florida, and we see people come down all the time to be trained at Southeastern, which is the Assemblies of God Bible School in Florida. And we see people getting trained at Central Bible College, and they stay in those places. And you guys, God is raising up this ministry, New England Master's Commission, to actually raise up the youth of Northern New England and send them back out. Now, we have sent someone back to your church, Jen Schultheis, and she's here helping the pastor and helping the youth. And we are so honored to have her in our Master's Commission and be able to send her back, because that's the very reason that we are here this morning. So give God a hand for that, I'll tell you. You know what? Greater than any financial gift that you could give us this morning to try to help this ministry go on, the greatest gift that this church has ever given us has been Jen Schultheis. A lot of you guys don't know this, and I'm going to brag on her just for a second. Jen has struggled with a lot of physical ailments, and Master's Commission is very difficult. It's very hard. It's hard. The schedule's hard. Everything's hard about it. And that girl right there is one of the biggest fighters I have ever seen in my life. She had more struggles and more things to overcome to be able to do Master's Commission than anybody that I've ever had. And I've been a director for 12 years. And that girl right there is a fighter. So I just want to give her a little bit of praise this morning. Well, this morning, like I said, it's going to be a little bit different, you guys. We are New England Master's Commission, and we believe that we are God-called, ordained to change Northern New England. We are not here just to put on a service. We want you to get in touch with something that's trying to change the very fabric of this region of the country. We're excited this morning. This is our largest class that we've ever had. This year, our first year class was 16 people, and all but one of them are from Northern New England. So we're excited about that. Going into next year, we're going to even have a larger class, and every one of the students is from Northern or Southern New England. So the word's getting out that there's a bunch of young people that want to see change. Amen? Because, Pastor, you and I are going to get old. We're going to have to retire someday, and somebody's going to have to take our place. And who better than a Northern New Englander to lead the charge than another Northern New Englander that's been touched by the presence of God, touched by the Word of God, and mentored to do this ministry? Can I get an amen this morning? It's so true. So true. So we're excited this morning about this ministry. For you guys that have seen us, you know that we're into drama and you've experienced the worship already. I was reading a story this week about John Newton. John Newton was drafted into the merchant ship industry at the age of 11. His father drafted him in to the merchant ship industry. And from that time on, he was abused. He was beaten. He couldn't believe that the conditions that were on the merchant ship, the conditions were horrible. Living on a ship, dealing with the merchants, it was a tough life. And after his father passed away, he himself became a captain of a slave ship. And seeing how the slaves were treated during a storm one night, when the ship was about to go down, even though he was not a religious person and didn't find himself praying, John Newton found himself saying, "Lord, help me," as the ship began to sink. Well, it didn't sink, but it was in that moment that John Newton experienced amazing grace. And that same John Newton would get out of the slave ship industry. He would experience the amazing grace of God and write and pen the song Amazing Grace and become a preacher. And maybe you're here this morning and that same battle has happened in your spirit. Life's been tough. Maybe dealing with your own sin has been a difficult thing. And you, like John Newton, you've experienced the amazing grace of God. You see, people all over these New England states, there's a battle for people that even believe in God at all. And God wants to reveal His amazing grace. I'm going to ask the masters to come up. We're going to do a drama for you guys right now. All 30-some-odd people are in this drama. So I'm just going to ask nobody get up, move around, because somebody might get hurt. Okay.
There is children's church for the little guys, the young ones, and we normally have a break and let them out. So if you have little children, they're up through age, up to sixth grade, they can go. Okay, so there is children's church. We give you the option. You can stay in here, but we do know that we do have a children's program, and they're prepared. And I normally dismiss you, and I didn't this morning. Forgive me. It's my one mistake this year. So, just to let you know, if you want to keep your children here, that's fine, but there are leaders out there for your children, the little guys, and you can just leave right now if you want to go.
Thank you, Pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want you to know that the battle that's raging even in northern New England, even in our churches and out on the streets of our cities and in the countrysides of Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, I want you to know something, that this battle started off with a man called Moses who would rather endure the treatment as a sinner and with his people to see their deliverance happen than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, Hebrews 11 tells us. And it was passed down to someone like Samson. Even though he blew it, he made mistakes. The Spirit of God came upon him mightily for him to win battles for God. And then it went to Jesus. And it went to people like Joan of Arc and the great saints of old that had spread the gospel all over the world. You know what? It's coming to us today. You guys give them a hand this morning as we present The Battle Rages On.
There's been a battle raging throughout time, a battle for the souls of men, a battle that is being fought to this very day. Will you join the fight for the salvation of mankind? Look around you. The battle rages everywhere.
Freedom!
There was that old Pharaoh who ruled over Egypt and Israel. God spoke to Moses through fire. The bushes said, "Kick off your shoes and stay a while." All of humanity was made to worship me.
From Moses to Abraham, from Isaac to Joseph, God's power has been seen from the very beginning. Few people have ever experienced God's power in battle like Samson.
Jesus is our ultimate example of victory in the greatest of battles. He would come and bear the sin of the world on his shoulders. He would be beaten, mocked, tortured, and murdered for his love for his Father. Yes, God would win this battle, but not in a conventional way. Jesus would win God's battle by dying on the cross.
Resurrection and the life.
The battle rages on. From the end of the Bible to this day, many have fought and won battles for God through the same faith that the saints displayed. Joan of Arc was a woman who was led by God, and even as a teenager showed that God's power was still working through people.
Now this battle has come to us. We have been given the armor of God and the mighty Spirit of God. It is our turn to fight the good fight. Our turn to take the battle everywhere.
Amen. How many of y'all know there's a battle raging? Wow, I just got reverb. Whoa. Amen. I'm going to invite one of my students. We're talking about grace this morning. I'm going to invite Kayla if she would come on up. Kayla's from Portsmouth area. She's actually from Berwick. And the Lord has done a great work in her life. You guys give Kayla a hand. Amen.
Hi. Okay. I did this more last year, and I was never really this nervous, but grace. Okay, grace. I've had a lot of grace in my life. It's really cool. My aunt is here, and my dad is her brother, and in our family, we seem to have a problem with alcoholism. It just runs through her and her four brothers. At one point, all dealt with this horrible thing. And when I grew up, I really didn't know that other families didn't deal with it. I just thought it was pretty normal. And it's not that I had a bad life. I had a good life. Like, I had everything I needed plus some. Like, material things were like how my parents showed their love. They didn't know how to show it any other way. So, Kayla, I bought you this. I turned 16. I get a brand new car. Like, that's just how it was in my family. So that's always how I knew love, things. Things were, like, good. That's the only way that I knew that I was accepted. So if I didn't get things, then, like, you didn't love me. So when I was 6 years old, I spent a lot of time at my Aunt Karen's house because she knew that the drinking and the fighting and all that wasn't good for me. So I would always go to her house, and then when I was six, her husband, I thought this was normal too, would sexually abuse me, but I didn't know that that didn't happen everywhere else. Like, how do you know at 6 years old that that's not, you know, what just goes on? So it went on for a little while. I tried to tell, but they were like, Kayla, you know, like, that can't be happening. There's just no way. Nobody really believed me. But then when I was 14, I met Jesus, and my uncle and my aunt had actually gotten saved when I was around 8. And they would always take me to church with them, and their preacher is just insane. He would always be so happy. Like, he would run on chairs, like the kind of, like he was from the South or something. And so I was, when I came to know the Lord, I was like, man, that's why he always got so excited. Like, when I heard about Jesus, my aunt's daughter and her husband told me, and I was like, yes, like, I need this, because that's why that man always got so excited. And all those seeds from my aunt would bring me to church, you know, those were finally grew into something. And I kept going to church. And then when I was 17 and I graduated, I was like, you know, I know Jesus. I can make my own decisions. I'm a big girl now, and I have the Lord. Like, I'm going to move to Florida. Why not? It sounded like a great decision at the time. So to get away from my parents, to get away from all the bad things, I was thought I was running to, like, the good things. Moved to Florida, went to Bible school. You would not believe what happens at a Bible college. Master's commission is different. It just is. I went to a normal Bible college where you live in your own apartment, you have a job, and you just go to classes. Well, I was 18. I turned 18 after a month after I moved there. And my grandpa died, so I came home. Back to, like, my parents fighting and, like, the normal family things. And I felt like the Lord was telling me not to go back to Bible school. But I was like, Lord, there's no way that you want to keep me here with all the fighting and all, like, the bad things. So I went back to Florida. Big mistake. I ended up putting myself in horrible, horrible situations. And some things happened that I'm not going to, like, mention. I don't feel like I should, but there were just bad things. And that's when I realized God's grace. Like, the grace that he always had in my life. Like, all the things that could have happened that would have been so horrible, like, didn't happen. And the things that I thought were horrible really weren't so bad. So I came home, and I came to Masters. The Lord clearly told me to go to Masters. And my first year, a month into it, we went to this thing called East Coast Conference. And this man walked up to me, and I was standing in the front row. And I had just gone done telling Debbie and Elizabeth, I feel dirty. Like, all the things that I've done, all the mistakes that I've made, like, I just feel filthy. And he came up to me, like, an hour later, we're in service, and he's like, I don't know you, I might be crazy, but the Lord told me to tell you that he sees you, like, in white, like a white dress. Like, you're clean, like, there's nothing, you're spotless. And, like, that's how the Lord sees you. I just felt like I should tell you that. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's insane. Like, that's how the Lord sees me. Like, all the mistakes that I've made, like, I'm sure, like, somebody in here has made a mistake, right? Like, I'm not the only one. like, the Lord doesn't see it. And, like, this is the kind of grace that was over my life since I was born, and I didn't even know it, and I didn't appreciate it. Right before I went to Master's Commission, I got this tattoo on my back, and nobody really understands it. It's kind of weird, but nobody questions it because I'm kind of weird. And it says love affair in Italian. And I just realized that my whole life I was having affairs. Like, I was cheating on the Lord. Like, it would be like Miss Patty going out and cheating on her husband. That's what I was doing. And when I realized that, I was like, wow. So I got a tattoo that says love affair. And now every time, like, I see it, I remember, like, where I was and how far he brought me because he loves me so much. Like, you know, like, when that happens in marriages, sometimes the other person leaves. Like, he didn't leave me. Like, he'll never leave me. That's good news. And here I am. And, like, all the things that I've gone through, like, the Lord's, he's just stayed and he stayed faithful. And, like, my call is great. And the Bible says that he works all things together for good. It was like he called, he predestined. Like, I've always had this purpose and I've always had this calling on my life to go and, like, work with little girls in human slavery and human trafficking. And that was always there because he called me. I read this morning that many are called but few are chosen. And I was going to ask somebody what it meant, but then I sat there and I tried to just figure it out on my own. Like, he calls you all, but, like, will you be ready? Like, will he be able to choose you? Like, if we're all standing here, like, who of us could he choose? Like, who's really ready? Like, I think I'm finally ready. Are you ready? Like, can he choose you? Can he use you? Like, there's grace to cover all of your mistakes, and he's just waiting for you, basically. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And you know, this is so true of so many households of people that we know and deal with every day. I know your pastor could probably stand up here and say, look at all the things that have happened in the households of people that we've experienced over the years. But there's grace. Amen. There is grace. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 9. We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul, who at this time was called Saul. And we're going to read about his conversion experience and the grace that interrupted this man's life. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. All right. Just before we read, you guys, I'm kind of a loud and out there guy. So I've said this in many churches, Pastor. Let's just pretend that we're at a Boston Red Sox game or the New England Patriots just scored a touchdown. What would your response be this morning when everybody kind of throw their hands up? What I'm saying is you can't disturb me. I preach out on the streets, so we've had babies crying, sirens going off. But if you'll talk back to me, it'll be like saying sick 'em to a dog. I'll preach better if you talk back to me. So just act like everything I say that's from the Word of God is like the Patriots scoring a touchdown, and we're going to have a good time this morning. Amen? So it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Here we go. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he had found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he was traveling. It happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here am I, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine,'" just like Kayla said, a chosen person, "to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. And I love this. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Amen. Father, I thank you, God, this morning for your word. I thank you for the amazing grace that's been shed on our lives, shed abroad in our hearts, God, blanketing our spirits, our souls, and our bodies, God, for which, God, if we did not have that grace, we would not even be in this church this morning. We wouldn't know how to worship you. We wouldn't be able to understand the word of God. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God decided to pick off the point man in the opposition against Christianity. Paul was the same person that we see in earlier in Acts who held the coats of the people that stoned Stephen. This man was on a rampage, a holy rampage in his mind, to stomp out the people of the way, Christianity, that had just been birthed. He had letters from the high priest that he could capture these people, imprison these people, and even kill these people. He had authority from the greatest religious leader in Israel to destroy those that were of the way. And it was this same Paul who was on the road to Damascus who God decided to knock off of his horse. And he picked off the point man of the opposition to Christianity. Isn't that amazing grace? Paul said this, "I am the chief of sinners, and for some reason God has shown and demonstrated his love towards me that I may become an apostle to the Gentiles." God picked off the point man, the opposition, the person that was against Christianity. He did this in Paul's life, and it is a story, really, of amazing grace. This morning, I believe that there's people here that you're walking this Christian walk, you're going to church every week, you're doing the Christian thing, you're trying to do exactly what God would have you to do, much like Paul was, and you find yourself in a strange place where life seems kind of hard and things are difficult and there doesn't seem to be much grace flowing into your life. I've got good news for you this morning. I believe there is going to be a lavishing of the grace of God over people's lives right now. If you're open to it, if you're willing to receive, I believe God wants to give you a fresh dose of his grace this morning. You see, Paul was the person that the Bible tells us in Philippians that he was excelling all of the other people that are trying to be religious in his day. He was excelling all of his contemporaries. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was trained in the greatest school by Gamaliel. He knew the law. He knew the Bible better than anybody. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he had it all going for him in the religious realm of his life. But he had missed everything. He thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting the church, and he missed the grace of God. He thought he was doing the will of God. He thought he was protecting his faith, and the whole time he was in opposition to what God wanted to do. You know, so many times in my own life, I thought I was doing everything right, Pastor. I was going to church. I was raising my hands. I was praying. I was even out on the street witnessing to people. And people could point to Chad and say, man, he's doing exactly what he should do. He's following Jesus. And I found myself in a strange place where I needed grace. Where I needed grace on my life. Folks, the longer I go in this Christian thing, the more debilitated I have found that I am. I am so in need of God's grace that if I don't have a dose of God's grace this morning, I am going to be a regular Joe tomorrow. I hate to say that, but but it's just true. I have found that I need God's grace more today than when I started, because I realize that God has revealed this holy, holy self to me, and I don't measure up, and I need His grace. You see, we can be doing all the religious activity. We can be going through all the motions. We can be crossing every T and dotting every I, and we can still miss the grace of God. This morning, I believe God wants to pour out His grace on our life. You know, Paul was just doing his duty. And sometimes it seems like this thing that God has called us to do can just become like a duty. It's our duty to be a good husband. It's our duty to go to church. It's our duty to pay our tithe. And Paul thought he was doing his duty, and God knocked him off his horse. So many times in our Christian walk, we build this thing that we get secure in. We get secure in going to church. We get secure in doing the right things. We get secure that we don't cuss and swear like other people, and we're still in desperate need of the grace of God. Folks, I want to submit to you this morning that this walk that we venture to walk is a supernatural walk. We walk by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't fake that in your flesh. You can't work it up and walk the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You can't do religious routine. There's people that are more religious than anybody here, and they've totally missed it. You can't walk as a resurrection man without the grace of God in your life. No one can raise the dead here in their own strength. That's what we need to happen every day. We need to walk as a resurrection man or woman. It is a miracle. Does everybody understand that? Wave at me if you understand that. Walking this Christian walk is not, you know, honestly, there's Muslims that act more righteous than a lot of Christians. Do you understand that? We have to walk with resurrection power. That's what makes this a miracle. And it only happens by the grace of a mighty God. So you may be thinking this morning that you're doing God's work. I'm here to submit to you that God may want to just knock you off your horse. You may be here this morning and think, you know, I'm going to come to church today. Please don't bother me, preacher, worship team. Please don't talk to me about how I'm really living my life. And God may just want to gently knock you off your horse. You may be thinking that there's no way that God wants to show His grace to me. You don't understand the things that I've done, Pastor Chad. You don't understand, even though I'm sitting in this church, the things that I deal with every day. I just want you to know that God wants to gently knock you off your horse. Maybe this morning you're on the road to Damascus, just like Paul. Like I said, he was doing his duty. You know what I found out? Sometimes when we start this Christian thing, we can start with a lot of fire and a lot of passion. And then just daily living. 365 days of the first year saps some of our passion. Saps some of our dependence on God. And then 365 days of the next year take a little bit more of the life of Christ that's inside of us. And sometimes the inertia of years steal the grace of God from our life and sap the strength that we have in God. You know, he was just going about his business. He thought he was doing the thing that he was supposed to do as a Pharisee, protecting the law, protecting Moses, protecting the Torah. And in that routine of doing that, he was interrupted in a holy way. People that have kids, children, you know, you have jobs and careers, and you've been in these things for more than 5 to 10 years. I want to submit to you this morning that you may be in the need of a new dose of grace in your life, because I have seen routine rob joy. I have seen routine rob intimacy between a man and a woman. I've seen routine rob passion for the lost in church. Man, I'm telling you this morning, we need a fresh dose of the grace of God in our life. If the Lord doesn't touch my life, I'm not going to want to pray tomorrow, folks. And if I do, it'll just be a routine. I heard this from someone I really respect this week. I was down in Dallas. The first thing that drops off our life is being a witness. Do you understand that's the last thing that Jesus said to us, that we need to be a witness? And if it's the first thing that drops off your life, but probably the most important and last thing that Jesus said, folks, we're going to have to stand before God. And if God doesn't touch us with His grace again, and we have a passion, not out of ritual and requirement, to tell people about Jesus, we're going to be held accountable for that. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit before the judgment seat of Christ and try to make up excuses of why I was not a witness for Jesus Christ. Honestly, we go church to church, and even our students, we talk, you know, we have to be a witness. There is no choice. God has called us to be witnesses. And I cannot do it without the grace of God. Say amen out there if you're a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you guys have been living with hard situations so long that they just tore you up. It's beyond weary. You've lived with a hard situation so long that it's just left you a shell of a Christian. I want you to know something. There's a grace that I can't give you, that none of these people in the black shirts can give you, not even your pastor can give you, that will do something in you in a moment which years of counseling could never do. Which years of reading that Bible could never do. And I don't mean to sound sacrilegious. You need a touch of the grace of God. A touch of the grace of God. Amen. Some of you here might be struggling with yourself. Who's ever struggled with themselves? I'd put my other foot up, but I'd end up on the ground. Then I'd need some real grace and prayer. I mean, don't you sometimes, let's just be honest in church. Don't you sometimes just get tired of struggling where you struggle? Don't you ever get tired of yourself and think, couldn't I ever get over this? God, I'm struggling with the same thing. Why can't I get over it? And you just get worn out. You just want to sit back and say, God, carry me through. And you lose heart. I'll tell you, if there's something I'm saying today, it's about losing heart. I see you got basketball hoops up here. I play basketball every Monday. I've been playing all my life. I was raised by, in New England vernacular, I'll say it this way, I was raised by a wicked competitive family. You know, New England's the first place I've ever went where they have like girls football, you know, and people are like trying to kill each other. It's a pretty competitive place. Are you all from New England? You know what I'm talking about, right? All right. Yeah, when 90-year-old grandmothers get excited about Boston Red Sox baseball, I'm telling you, you're in a different world. It's an awesome place. I love it. I was raised by a very competitive family, and I still play. And here's the thing. If I play somebody that's better than me, and I know they're better than me, but I can try so hard, did they get to the point where they give up and they lose heart? I got them. I don't care how good they are. And I feel like the devil has stolen the heart from the church. We say we believe in healing, but we really don't believe it. We say we believe in witnessing to the lost, but we've lost heart, and we can just say the words, but we really don't have the heart for it any longer. Folks, we need a touch from the grace of God. We need a touch from the grace of God so that what we say and what we believe can be the same thing. You know, there's voiced beliefs, and then there's actual what we do beliefs. And sometimes there's a huge difference. Can I tell you about my pickoff moment? Who wants to know when God picked me off? Wave at me. I don't want to waste my breath. Thank you. Hey, how you doing? All right. You know, I was raised in church all my life, you guys. I saw my mom get miraculously healed right before my eyes. And I never accepted Christ. I saw it. First time I was in a Pentecostal church, I saw people hitting the floor. I thought, man, is anybody going to call the ambulance? These people are dying in the altar. What's going on? I didn't know what was going on. And my mom, she was getting prayed for. She didn't even want to go forward, and her friend was with her. And they got knocked back about 10 feet. My mom had ulcer problems. She also had a TMJ problem. And I served my mom ice cream because of her ulcer at least once a week, and I never had to do it again. God is a miraculous healer. And I saw it and witnessed it with my own eyes. And in many other instances, I did not accept Christ. Well, we lived in Michigan, and we moved down to Florida. And I've never been in any place like Florida. You know, it's like a church on every corner. It's like almost an oversaturation of religion. And I went down there, and I met some real Christians. And I was going to college, and I was really, focused and passionate about finishing with my college degree. And I ran out of money. And I had to sit out a semester, and I felt like, man, I'm just wasting my life right here. This 6 months is a waste of time. And I had a girlfriend at the time, and I wasn't serving God, and my parents had found another church. And I liked the church, and I liked the youth pastor. The youth pastor's name was Pastor Scott. He's my mentor. He's like a father to me. And I was out in the world doing my thing. I was working at Bennigan's, and I'll tell you what, in Florida, things are a little bit different. I mean, I knew people were doing everything. They were doing coke. I mean, everything was going, sex, everything was just nuts lifestyle. And I liked this one girl. And my wife's sitting here. But I liked this one girl. Liked, past tense. And I found out that she was being very promiscuous. I mean, she was sleeping around with all these guys. I was drinking every night after work, which I really didn't even like to drink, but I was just doing it because, and folks were doing all kinds of hard drugs around me. And they scheduled me. It was weird, Pastor. They scheduled me every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, so I never went to church. Now, I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I found myself thinking I'm getting away from something that's important. Never heard the voice of God. Look, I went to church all my life, young people, and I didn't know one scripture. I could not recite even John 3:16. I was so zoned out when I went to church, I couldn't even sing you one song that we sung. I had no clue, man, right? I listened to preachers, though. If people talked, I'd like elbow people to pay attention. And I don't know, it never went in, never got inside. And in this situation, I was so frustrated with the life, and the girlfriend had hurt me, and I couldn't go to college. And I'm talking, I was getting to the boiling point of just frustration with things in my life. And I remember I was driving my car down Bay Meadows Road, which is right in the heart of Jacksonville. I drove by there just a couple months ago, the very spot. And I was driving my Chevette. Who knows what a Chevette is? And that needs prayer right there. Anyway, I'm driving in my Chevette, and I'm going east to west, and I'm just about to cross under I-95 down in Jacksonville, the same one right here. I'm about to drive under I-95, and I begin to just scream at God. I mean, this prayer, all of y'all would get up and leave if you would have heard my prayer, because it did not fit. I was mad at God, Pastor. I was saying, God, why? Why is this going like this? Why has this happened to me? Why do I have to? Tears were rolling down my face. I was shouting at God. And even though I didn't know what was going on, something rose up inside of me that was called faith. And even though it wouldn't have fit in most church services, God decided to visit me in my Chevette, baby. And I'll just tell you something right now. All the anxiety, all the hurt, all the pain, all the things that were inside of my mind that caused so much turmoil, it was like God took a can opener and opened up the top of my head and poured liquid love inside of me. And I'm telling you, in an instant, I didn't even know what happened, but all of my problems went out my big toe, baby, and gone. And one second I was chasing my girlfriend, and the next second I was saying, man, I know God. The one second I was swearing, and the next second I was saying glory to God. I mean, everything had changed in a moment, and it was so powerful I could barely stay on the road. People, I want you to know something. God's grace will visit your life if you will cry to Him. Amen. Look, there was no preacher. There was no choir. I didn't know a scripture. But God responded to a heart that needed His grace. I want you to know something. I am standing here, and it's my wife and one of my children. I would not be here. I would not be speaking to you if it wasn't for that moment and many moments since then. God decided to pick Chad off, and even though Chad didn't even know what was going on, God showed his grace to my life. I'm telling you, this is kind of wild, far out stuff, but it was 2 weeks later, I'm sitting in Red Lobster, enjoying probably Maine lobster with my mom in Jacksonville, Florida, and this situation happened again, so much so that I almost put my face down on a plate of fish. I mean, it was so powerful, so powerful. I can't go back. I can't go back. The grace of God has touched my life. I want to focus on one verse, and we're almost done. You're going to hear from another one of our students, so we're going to do one more drama for you guys. Verse 5. And Paul said this in verse 5. He said, "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And this is Jesus. And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do.'" Two things. Who am I? And what am I to do? Who are you, Lord? And what am I to do? Who are you, Lord? And what am I to do? All these situations that I've talked about this morning that you may be going through, here is the purpose for God showing his grace to you. He wants to show you more of himself. I just want to do a Breaker 1:9 to everybody here. This is a news flash. None of us know God all yet. We don't know all of God. We don't know all about God. We've probably just scratched like his little pinky fingernail. There's so much more to know about God. And when he shows your grace, you get a fresh revelation. Let me ask you this. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, the very act when the Pharisees and Sadducees brought her and threw her at the feet of Jesus and said, "Jesus, what should we do with this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery?" Jesus is writing these jokers' names in the sand. Ananias, you know, he knows what the deal is, right? And he says, "You who are without sin, cast the very first stone." And then they all leave. They drop their stones. The older ones who know better drop their stones first. The Bible says Jesus kneels before this woman. He says, "Where are your accusers? And she says, "They're nowhere to be found." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I want you to know something, that prostitute, that person that gave her body away to sick, defiled men, I want you to know something, that she got a fresh revelation of who God was sitting there in the sand with Jesus talking to her face to face. I'm sure blind Bartimaeus, who was crying out to the point where the disciples were saying, "Shut up! Shut up! You're disturbing church. You're disturbing what's going on. Would you just be quiet?" And the Bible says he cried out all the more because he knew he needed grace. And Jesus went up to him and touched his eyes, and he received his sight. How many of y'all know he got a fresh revelation of the grace of God? I imagine a leper inside of my head, Pastor. Someone who's been isolated from community and has to live out in a separate place because he's infected with this dreaded disease that if you touch somebody, they catch it. And who knows, man, maybe his arm's gone. His face may be deteriorating. His nose may have fallen off of his face. And he approaches Jesus. He left his isolated community. He said, "I got to go find a resolution to my problem. I need the touch of God. I need the grace of God." And he leaves his isolated community and he goes to Jesus, and it says that he fell at his feet. I can just see the bell going off around his neck and the people separating as this leper falls at his feet before Jesus. You know, leprosy has always been a picture of sin. Sin. I'm sick of sin in my own life. I am so sick of sin, I can't wait to get totally delivered. Amen? I don't know if you're in the same spot, but I can't wait to get totally delivered. This man was isolated from the people that he needed the touch from, from the touch of God. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus. People separate because they know if they get touched, they're infected. And Jesus says, "What would you have me to do for you?" And the man said, "If you will touch me, I will be clean." And Jesus touches him. Can you imagine the grace in just feeling another person's touch? If Folks, if you think that you can go even 3 days without the touch of God in your life, I got news for you. You need to be touched by your Father.
Amen.
You need the touch of your Father. You see, we don't serve a father that doesn't want to touch his children. We don't serve a father that doesn't want to speak a word to his children. He wants to say something to you. And don't misunderstand me this morning. By the grace of God, we've got this Bible sitting in front of us. But God didn't just leave us a list of do's and don'ts. And I'll see you when you get back. God wants to speak to you a today word. He wants to give you a today touch so that we can live not on stale bread of what we learned 20 years ago or 15 years ago. But we can live with the very bread from heaven.
Amen.
My goodness, people. My goodness, people. This is good stuff. You see, God wants to show you today just how much you need Him. You need Him more than a person needs a crutch. Some people say God's a crutch. No, He's not a crutch. He is inside of me. He's my breath. He's my bread. Jesus said it this way. My food is to do the will of God. The very sustenance of who I am is to do your will. He's more than a crutch. Man, He's your two legs walking. He's everything you need. When life gets tough, people, and you feel like you're being ground into the mud, there's the grace of God. Man, when you feel like you're at an impossible job and your boss is just, there's no getting peace with him, I want you to know something, there's grace. There's grace. That family member that you've been believing for years, that you never have seen respond to the Lord, there's grace. There's grace. There's grace. This morning, my heart is breaking this morning because I see the body of Christ in need of grace. The second half of that scripture said this. What must we do? Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a good work for you to do, just like He had for the Apostle Paul. This dude that was against Christianity became the greatest apostle. Look, it's not about routine and requirement. It's not about, this is what I have to do. It's what we get to do.
Yes.
Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace of God has labored it in me even more than all of the disciples. The grace of God took this person that could have sat in the highest halls of religious life in Israel and made him walk with his bare feet all over a civilized world. That was the grace of God empowering him to do something. It was more than signing up for the nursery because somebody gave you a guilt trip. Or doing something because you think you should. It's the grace of God laboring inside of you that forces you out to do something that you never imagined that you would have to do. Some people said, I was crazy when I moved to New England from Florida. And I said, are there people there? Yes. Is God interested in people? Yes. That's why I'm going, because the grace of God is laboring inside of me. It's not something we have to do, it's what we get to do. 35 years, a pastor pastored our church, which is now called Connect Community Church, and it was Bethel Assembly. His name was Peter Miller. And I read this story, and this preacher has the same name. Just thought it was kind of ironic. It's a story of a preacher named Peter Miller. He's a Baptist preacher and from Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And he had this guy in his hometown that would just razz him, would mock him, would scorn him and persecute him. Well, it was this same man that got arrested for treason, and this was about the time of the Revolutionary War. They took him to Philadelphia because that was kind of the hub of everything in the beginning of our nation. Now, the preacher struck out, this is a true story, on foot from Ephrata, Pennsylvania. It's about 70 miles. He walked 70 miles to plead the case of this man that had scorned and mocked him. Now, when he got there, President Washington, was the only one that could give this person a pardon. And the preacher pleaded his case, and General Washington, President Washington, said, I'm sorry, I cannot pardon this, your friend. And the preacher said, my friend? this is the worst enemy that I have. Washington said, what? You walk 70 miles to plead the case of your enemy? I grant you the pardon. Folks, when we get to heaven, we're going to see just how far Jesus went to give us grace. And when we know that, I think some of us may think, why didn't it touch me more? Why didn't it throw me out into the world more? Why didn't it change the way I thought? Because there's one thing you can do. You can serve God out of ritual, and you can serve Him out of a grateful heart. Jesus went the ultimate distance, and we've been shown the greatest grace. What effect has it had in your life this morning? What effect? I'm going to ask the masters to come. They're going to do another drama for you guys. Give them a hand as they come. Amen. All right, young people, how many of y'all know who Skillet is? You know who Skillet is? All right, I love y'all. Skillet, yeah. Skillet is it's a rock group. It's a Christian rock group, people. And I know it sounds like something you put your pancakes in, but it's a Christian rock group. And they have this song, and they've been popular for years. God has really used them. They have this song, it's called The Last Night. And this drama is about one of our girls that's in Masters. Now, she's not giving her testimony. She plays the lead character. Her name's Liz. She's from Tilton, New Hampshire. She's dealt with stuff, dealt with abuse in her family. She's dealt with getting involved with drugs and guys and everything. And by the grace of God, she had the last night. You know what I'm saying? There was a time, there was a place that God ordained that the grace of God would visit her life. So this is kind of her story. Her name's Liz, and this is called The Last Night. Give them a hand. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask one more student, then we're finished. This is another one of our mainers. Her name's Laura. You guys give her a hand this morning.
Hi, everyone. So I'll probably start crying, just so you know, because that's what I do when I preach. But that's how God made me, so it's okay. Okay. So, like, I'm in my first year, and before I came to Masters, like, I had just broken up with my boyfriend, and I was, like, bitter and angry, and I was just mad at the world. And I was, like, I was at this point where I was, like, I was going to go one way, or I was going to go, like, the complete opposite. But, like, I realized he was calling me to his grace. And so I applied to Masters Commission, and I was late, like, applying and everything, but it all worked out. Pastor Chad called me and said that I was accepted. Thank you. And so I came, and I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but it was good, because now I realize, like, his grace changed me. It wasn't just Master's Commission. Like, he used that as a tool to change me. And, like, it's kind of crazy that I'm up here preaching in front of you guys, because, like, 9 months ago, like, I couldn't have done this. Like, it wouldn't have happened. So it's kind of crazy. This morning, I didn't know I was going to, like, speak in front of you guys. But then when Pastor Chad, he was like, so I'm going to probably pick one of you out to speak about grace today. And I was like, I knew it was going to be me when he said it. And then, like, he told me, and it was kind of funny because this morning I was reading in Romans. It's Romans 5:20. Oh, no. 2 Corinthians 12:19, and it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And, like, that's kind of become the story of my life lately. Like, yeah, like, I'm not a very strong person, like, mentally, emotionally, anything like that, and definitely not physically. I'm weak. But, like, that's the only way that he can be strong is, like, if we're weak, if we, like, make ourselves nothing, that's the only way his power is going to be shown. And, like, the thing about grace is, like, I didn't think his grace was enough. Like, I didn't think I was worthy of it, but that's what grace is. Like, you're not worthy of it. That's what makes it grace. Like, And it's kind of funny, Kayla was mentioning about her tattoo, because I got a tattoo that says Ocean Floor. And I don't know, it's a song, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's like, it just talks about God, like, throwing your sins on the ocean floor. And, like, that means he forgot about them, and he's not going to hold them against you, so, like, why should you do that to yourself? And that just reminds me every day, because, like, I would always try to bring, like, I would always bring my sin back up in my mind. I wasn't always, like, a bad, bad person, but I did things that weren't good. Like, there was still sin, and it just reminds me that, like, his grace is sufficient. Like, it's enough. Like, he doesn't just give you, like, a little bit of grace each day. He gives you a sufficient. He gives you what you need. He knows exactly how much grace you need every day. And, yeah, so, like, if he's calling you to grace today, like, if he's been calling you to grace all your life, but, like, if he's calling you, just listen.
Way to go, girl. Awesome. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to stand this morning, if they wouldn't mind. I think Laura just wrapped it up just so well that his strength, amen, his strength is perfect in our weakness. I'm just going to ask everybody just to bow your heads. I know it's something that we always do in church. We ask people to bow their heads and close their eyes. And it can become a time where our mind just begins to wander because we're thinking about this is the end, we're going home or whatever. But God's strength is perfected in our weakness. And I'm going to ask everybody in here this morning to allow themselves to just be weak for a moment. Seriously, let's take off the religious face. Let's just take off all the facade sometimes that we put on, and why not just allow ourselves to be weak this morning? Because if it's true, if we're weak and we're vulnerable and we're humble, that the power and strength of God rest on our life, I don't want to leave without it. We're all familiar with the song that John Newton wrote, what I opened this sermon up with, called Amazing Grace. And Chris Tomlin, who's a very prominent Christian artist, has re-recorded this song and added some things to it. It says in one part of the song, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, who ransomed me. This morning I believe that our chains are gone, but we can never, never forget where we came from and what we've been released from and what God has brought us back from. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." This morning I'm asking you to be weak and allow the grace of God to touch your life. I honestly don't know the habit of your church. I did not talk to your pastor about these next moments. Only he gave me the permission to give an, he said it was fine to give an altar call. This morning, don't leave this place the same way that you came in. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. Allow yourself to be weak. Allow the touch of God to touch your life. If you're here this morning and you would say, "Pastor Chad, I'm ready for that. It's not like I'm doing something desperately wrong, but I just need the grace of God. I need a fresh touch of the grace of God in my life. I need something. I don't want to leave here without that touch of grace on my life." If that's you, would you slip your hand towards heaven this morning? Who among us this morning, you say, "Hey, I got to be weak. I got to get before God." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We know, Jen, we've met your pastor, but congregation, we want to mix our lives with yours this morning. If you have raised your hand, I know this is something that we do in our churches, but I want it to be more than just a religious response. I want it to be a relationship between us and you and us, an exchange of grace. If you raised your hands, could you come to this altar? Just quickly make your way to this altar. Some of the master students raise their hands. We're going to touch your life. We're going to believe God that you're going to get a touch of grace, that you'll leave here with something that only God can give you. No preacher can give you. No religion can give you. No church building can give you. It's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Come on, people of God, just throw your hands up. It's the international sign of surrender. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender to you, God. To you, God. I need your grace, God. I need your grace. I need. I'm telling you, the Lord of all the universe is in this place. It's not about Pastor Chad, and it's not about the masters right now. It's about God infusing grace to your life, lavishing grace on your life. I'm going to ask some of the other masters if they wouldn't mind going to the church people and just laying hands on them. It's in the Bible. We just want to place a hand on you, and we want to pray that God would impart His grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's grace for this race. There's grace for this race. For you today.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I once
was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. grace that taught my heart to feel. And grace,
yes, God,
my fears relieve. Oh, precious.
Yes, God. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. Lavish your grace on us, God. Impart grace to your people.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
And like a flood.
And like a flood, His mercy rains.
I believe there's a flood of grace right now.
Unending love.
Unending love, yes.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace, God, right now. Father, I pray upon my little sister, God, I pray, Father, that your grace would pour down like rain, God. Your amazing grace. Amazing grace. To her heart, to her spirit, God. Father, that she would never be the same, Jesus. Amazing grace. Father, I thank you for your grace. Father, be perfected in weakness, God, your strength, God. Upon this young lady's life, God, I pray there'd be such a grace, God. Such a presence, God, that it would be recognizable and visible. Lord, I pray her countenance would be saturated with the very glory and grace of God.
Hallelujah. My chains are. Word,
hallelujah.
My hope secure.
Lord Jesus.
He will my shield and portion be. As long as I lie indoors, my chains are gone.
My chains are gone.
I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace, my chains are. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever. Lord, you are, you are forever mine. My chains are
Amazing, oh,
Amen. Praise God. Everybody, if you can, just rise to your feet. We're going to make a declaration this morning. We're going to sing Amazing Grace one time through, and then My Chains Are Gone. Amazing Grace, and then My Chains Are Gone. And I know everybody knows this song, man. If you believe, man, and you've been a recipient of God's grace in your life, just throw your hands up, and let's make this a declaration loud and proud in a good way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace.
Come on, declare it to Jesus.
Saved
a wretch like me, yes.
Saved a wretch like me.
Yes,
I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now.
Let's declare, my chains are gone. Come on.
My chains are gone. I've been set free.
God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
More time.
Amazing.
Raise them high. My chains are gone.
My chains are
gone.
Thank you, God. I've been
set free. I've been set free.
My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
Like a flood. Yes, God.
And like a flood, His mercy reigns unending.
Come on, give the Lord a hand this morning as your pastor comes. Amen. God's good. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Earl Carroll, thank you so much for having us this morning. We've been wanting to come down to Derry, and it's been good this morning. Thank you, God's people, for being here this morning and just being receptive. The Lord's good. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Everybody receive something this morning from the Lord? Praise God. God is good. We want to thank the Master's Commission and Pastor Chad and the work they're doing. And as he mentioned earlier, one of the best things we can do is clothe them with prayer. And so remember this ministry. It's a vital ministry. It's important. It's needed in this area. We're believing God for a great revival in the Northeast. Wouldn't that be great? Go back to the days of Finney and some of the great evangelists, where entire towns were changed by the power of God. Workplaces were changed. People would just fall to their knees in the presence of God because the conviction was so strong. That happened in the Northeast, right here in this area. It can happen again. It can happen again. Let's pray for that. And let's encourage one another. Thanks again for coming. And at the dismissal, then I know some of you will want to personally express your thanks to each one of these fine folk that have been with us today. Let's look to God in prayer. Jesus, what a great opportunity we have had this morning to press in to receive something from you. And I pray that everybody here receives something. Lord, may we have open hearts. Always have open hearts to your Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be the same way we've done it all the time. But Lord, let's allow ourselves, oh God, to be open to what you're doing. And I pray, Lord, for this ministry. I ask that you will continue to bless it. I pray for everybody here. If there's somebody who came in this morning who had a particular burden on their life, I ask, dear God, that you've taken it away. And Father, that you would give encouragement and let each one know that there's a God in heaven who cares, and there's a God in heaven who sees and hears, and there's a God in heaven who will undertake the needs of those who call upon his name. So now, as we prepare to leave this place, may we go with your divine grace, peace, and love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
Inside, then I thought that I was on.